has blessed us so abundantly. Our first song is in your Gather hymnal, number 516. 516.
Let justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Come, O God, and take us, move and shake us. Come now and make us anew, that we might live justly like you. Like an ever-flowing stream. Let justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Come, O God, and take us, move and shake us. Come now and make us anew, that we of you who use the poor in your thirst of power and riches. The Lord will turn your laughter to tears on the wondrous day of our God. Let justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Let your hearts be broken and humble, for I am gracious, generous, and kind. Come and sing the mercies of God. Let justice roll like a river and wash all oppression away. Come, O God, have been told the way of life, the way of justice and peace, to act justly, to love gently, and walk humbly with God. Let justice roll like a river and wash all over. like you.
Reading from Amos. I hate, I despise your feast, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and cereal offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace of offerings of your fatted beasts, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flying stream. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
A second reading from Matthew, the 5th chapter. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
A brief reading from Monica Nilsson, shelter director for Simpson Housing Services in Minneapolis. Simpson operates 2 homeless shelters in church basements. "You can obtain a bed either by depositing 40% of your income for us to put into a savings account for you to get more permanent housing, or by entering our lottery. At the women's shelter, it's 40% of your income, or call in by phone until we're full. At the lottery, you would be given a number, and if your number is drawn, you can stay for a month. If not, you must leave." Some would say, a lottery is so cold and random, but would you want the job of choosing who deserves to sleep inside tonight? Here are my notes from a night at the lottery. It may sound chaotic and make you uncomfortable, but it is what I see every night. 6 o'clock p.m., opening time. Move a mat to the snoring section. I saw Joe outside. Phone. Take first name for women's shelter. Get door. People are coming. 1, 2, 3, 56, 57, 58. 6:27, phone. Sorry, the women's shelter is full. Door, more people. Number 112, 113, 114. It's gotten busier since we closed 100 beds last year after the funding cuts. Helen is a senior who has been living here for 4 months, waiting to get into affordable housing. She gives me $200. That's 40% of her monthly income of $500, so she qualifies for a mat on the floor. Wendy is 18. She has her homework spread out on her mat. She's a senior in a Minneapolis high school. 7:15. I meet with Rita. I ask her how she can keep her job at the hospital while she is going through chemotherapy. She tells me she isn't working, but people at the hospital are donating their time off so that she may keep her job and insurance. 7:30, start lottery. A volunteer pulls numbers written on index cards from a grocery bag. Tom wins. Jose wins. Clarence wins. Sheila wins. Name after name is drawn for a 30-day mat. The lottery is over. Tom comes over and whispers in my ear, "Why don't you give my bed to that guy over there? He looks like he needs it more than me." Jenny is leaving. I tell her I worry about her sleeping in her truck in the woods. "Don't worry," she comforts me. I've got my barbecue skewers to protect me. 8 o'clock. Ron is waiting for the ironing board. He has to get up at 4 a.m. to catch a bus to Bloomington to catch a ride to work. Mornings are always busy at Toro and Lakeville. He tells Sarah to hurry up, but Sarah pays no attention. She has to be in Edina early, too. Tomorrow's the 13-hour sale. Luis asks for all his money. He's found an apartment in Invergrove Heights. He shakes everybody's hands and says thank you. He reminds us to stop by Appliances at Sears on Rice Street and say hi sometime. 9 o'clock. Kristen calls from the women's shelter. They're full, and St. Francis Hospital in Shakopee wants to cab over someone with a feeding tube. Staff will take her and try to see if they can help her with the gagging. When Margaret came in, she signed her social security number. 00000001. I said she is either mentally ill or very, very old. Either way, she can stay. 10 o'clock. I leave to go home. Walk down the sidewalk, passing David and Kate sleeping in the first church door, Ray in the bushes, Mr. and Mrs. Gomez in door number 2, and Wally in door number 3. I wonder if I should kick them out so that people will not be uncomfortable at the sight of them. I go home. Last year, the governor and the legislature cut $2.7 million from emergency services and transitional housing programs, just one of many cuts to housing programs. What would the restoration of this funding do? It will mean Helen, a senior, won't have to put a folding chair next to her mat on the floor to get out of bed every morning. It will mean a hospital employee who happens to be homeless and going through chemotherapy can gain stability and reduce her health care costs. It will mean that you will get good service from a housed, rested worker when you go to Appliances at Sears. And it will mean Wendy could have a stable place to do her homework and graduate from high school. I wish I could get the governor and key legislators to pull numbers at the lottery. Perhaps they would restore the funding.
This daily drama at Simpson Housing Shelters is not unique to Minnesota. There are thousands of similar shelters around the country. I think we all know they exist, and we know there are people who use them, but we don't really want to know their names. We don't want to know too much about them because it does make us uncomfortable. But when we hear the stories, we really do sympathize with the poor, but we're paralyzed by the immensity of the problem, our own limitations, the needs of our own families. After thinking about it for a few minutes at Vespers or in church, we're ready to move on and go back to our lives. When we're in church, we certainly don't mind hearing stories about our neighbors in need, just so we can go back to our own lives after the closing hymn. But Christ's words make it plain. They make it clear that the homeless people at shelters like Simpson, at the earthquake refugees in Pakistan, at the refugees in Darfur, that they're our neighbors, and their suffering is our problem. The prophet Amos in the reading uses very strong language to tell us that God doesn't want. He doesn't want our worship festivals. He doesn't want our national day of prayer, our public piety. He doesn't even want our songs and praise unless and until we're going to work to reduce the injustice in the world. What God wants from us, what he expects from us, is that we work for justice and we work to address the needs of our neighbors. Intellectually, we know what's expected of us. In the story from Simpson Housing, Tom, the guy who just drew a 30-day stay in the shelter, he models the Christian living that we're supposed to do. Even though he doesn't have a home of his own, he gives up his bed to somebody who needs it worse. Could we copy him? Could we open our homes to the homeless? Could we spend less on ourselves and give a real percentage of our income to help, or at least not more than a token of our excess, but real portion of our income to help the people in homeless shelters, to help those in displaced by the earthquake in Pakistan or the refugees in Darfur? Could we give to Lutheran World Relief or other agencies to help them out? Could we work for social, economic, political justice? Say all people in our nation and world have the chance to earn a living wage so they don't have to have homeless families. Does this sound like it's difficult or perhaps impossible change in our lives? It sounds like a major sacrifice where we'd have to give up something that we doubt we can. But if we think this is a painful sacrifice, perhaps we're not quite understanding Christ's call. Jesus has already given everything we need. As we hear the whole theme, I am with you always, we know we have everything we need. Instead of feeling like we're making a painful sacrifice, let's recognize that we're not giving up something of ours, we're giving what is God's. This is our chance to share Christ's love, share it with our neighbors. This is a chance to participate in restoring justice and healing of our earth. Let us pray. Lord, you've given us our lives, our time, our talents, and our possessions. More than that, you've given your life for us. Help us to see the injustice and oppression in the world, then guide our lives so we may help make justice roll like a river and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream.
We sing the hymn printed on your half sheet.
If the day should come when the hungry have no bread, when the rich have all been fed, and still we see, when those who work for I are locked away, kept out of sight, and we're blind to what it means that we are free. Even the stones will cry out for justice, even the trees will sing out for peace, the fire and water, the earth and sky. Should come when the scriptures are not read, when our lives are shaped instead by the images of war, when our people fear and fear are slaves to greed and hate and fear, and we can't remember what we're living for. Even the stones will cry out for justice, even the trees will sing for peace, the fire and water, the earth and sky, all of creation will cry out, all of creation will cry. If the day should come when the air we breathe is dead, been bled till earth will bleed no more, when the oceans turn to warm and overbearing sun brings harm, and the barren land can barely be restored, even the stones will cry out for justice, even the trees will sing out for peace. should come when the creatures and the land know us hand in hand in faith and hope and love. And justice leads to peace, and peace leads to integrity, and creation is the home it's meant to be. Then with the stones we'll cry out for justice, with the trees we'll sing out for peace, with fire and water, with earth and sky, with all of creation we'll cry out, cry out, with all of creation we'll cry.
Go in peace to serve the God of justice.
People love that.